switch. Throw it, Archie! Throw it!
The Guy James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Slice! Slice, you hear me? Give my creation! Slice!
So this was fun.
You're going to like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Get countdown. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered a restricted broadcast area. You have entered a restricted broadcast.
Fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show. The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Well now, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Guy James Show. Good to have all of you along with us this afternoon. It is indeed. Another edition of the Guy James Show coming to you from the Blue Waters and Sandy Beaches of beautiful Fort Myers, Naples area, Florida. So good to have all of you along with us this afternoon on this, kind of another breezy day here in southwest Florida. We've had a lot of wind here in the past few days, but nonetheless, the water's nice. The Gulf temperature's around 80 degrees, fine for swimming, and great for visitors to come on down and visit. Lots of people bailing out right now. Easter coming up this weekend, and a lot of people leaving the area to get back home for Easter. So that's a good thing. We get our restaurants back, our roads back, and everything. Not that we don't appreciate all the visitors. That's always a good thing. They bring a few bucks with them and help keep the economy going here in southwest Florida. The economy. I have not looked at the stock market today. I promised myself I'd get a look at it here a little while ago. I've been busy doing show prep. We're still working on a new sound system here in the studio, and so been busy doing that and haven't looked at the market today. But one question I do want to ask everyone, does the market going up as it has lately, does that mean things are turning around for you and me? Does it? We see the predictions of the unemployment possibly reaching 10% by the end of the year. We don't see any end in sight of foreclosures. Property values are still headed down. Lots of sales around here lately. The vultures are moving in, and I don't mean to say everybody's a vulture. There are some folks just looking for a home or a second home. They're looking for a good deal, and Lord knows they are available right now here and in Las Vegas and Phoenix and many other places around the country where the foreclosures have been just rampant. So now when you're selling your home, you're in competition with the bank who is trying to get out from under toxic asset debt. I don't blame them for that, but they are offering so many short sales that it's just driving property values here down to bargain basement prices. If you ever wanted to buy a home in southwest Florida, I do believe now is the time. I don't think they're going to get a whole lot lower, maybe just a little bit. But if you covet having a vacation home or your primary residence here in southwest Florida, now'd be the time. There are some unbelievable bargains. I have seen condos and homes selling, and that's not to say that they weren't overpriced, because they were. But I've seen condos and homes selling for one-third of what they did just a few short years ago, 2006, 2000, first half of 2007, I guess. So an amazing downturn in the real estate market here. We've lost a lot of people in that business, have turned in their license, not selling real estate anymore. But there are some amazing bargains. Just the other day, advertised in the newspaper, one of these big development companies in one of their big developments here, they were asking $501,000 for a nice home, a fairly nice home for $501,000. That was the original price. They're now selling for $190,000. So, first of all, how much profit were they making on each of those homes? It seems as though it might have been a bit exorbitant. Or are they taking a monstrous loss on them? I don't know. Not being in that business, but it seems to me that some people are really bailing out in big numbers. Tea parties. I wanted to bring up the tea parties. Our local AM station here, the biggest AM station around these parts, is sponsoring a tea party, one of these Looney Tunes tea parties. They had one over in Cape Coral, Florida, just last week. They're having another one coming up, I believe, on the 15th. I'm not exactly sure. And the organizer of it is this Mandy Connell, this loony, bitchy, nauseating voice morning show host here on the local AM radio. She's the one I've told you about who made accusations against me that she couldn't back up and had to apologize on her program for it if we were going to sue. Too bad it cost a lot to sue her. Would have done it. Probably still considering it. She does her show every day by reading out of the newspaper. Lots of prep there. So, you know, a typical gun-loving, right-wing Republican mouthpiece with a personality that's completely difficult to stomach. And like I said, bitchy, a nauseating voice, and something just to drive you crazy. But they're planning one of these tea parties, and they're just having a good old time ragging on our new president and our Congress. Everything in the world is the Democrats' fault, and Obama, in the short time he's been in, 67 days now, Obama has ruined everything on the planet in 67 days. Yes. 866-546-5254 if you'd like to join us here on the program today. And if you have one of those phone plans where you can call anytime you want and have unlimited minutes, you can call us at 304-574-7813. That's 304-574-7813 or 304-574-7814 or 7815. So there you got four numbers you can use to call, and we hope that you will call into the program today. The gun loons. I guess, first let me explain that I'm not one of these people that's for banning guns. Hunters, if they want a gun, it's okay with me. I personally am not a hunter. I probably told the story on this program before that when I was a little kid, I went out with my father hunting. I was perhaps 11 years old, and he let me use the rifle that day, and I shot a rabbit, and I'll never forget standing there looking at that rabbit bleeding in the snow, knowing I wasn't going to eat the rabbit, that I didn't have to have that rabbit for sustenance, and wondering why on earth did I shoot that rabbit. Now, a lot of people say, oh, you're a real weenie. Well, I've looked at it that way ever since, and I think hunting, if you're going to hunt for food, that's okay. But these people that go out and kill animals for sport, that really nauseates me. It really does. But I believe you have a right to have a gun if you like for your protection. And I personally don't have one. Now everybody will come in and seek to rob my home knowing I don't have a gun, but I still do have two pretty good fists left here. I do have a BB gun downstairs. But the gun people are a whole nother crowd, are they not? I heard a guy over the weekend complaining that he couldn't find any ammo for his .45. It is true. He asked me if I knew where he could get any. I'd be one of the last people on earth that might know the answer to that question. I asked him what he needed it for. And his answer was, and I expected this answer. He said, just in case they start confiscating our weapons, they're not gonna take mine without a fight, by God. And then we hear about these killings of the three policemen in Pittsburgh by a right-wing, lunatic, fringe, gun-crazy, they're going to take my guns, Glenn Beck, Hannity, Limbaugh listener. These people are not rational. They are not people that can be reasoned with. And people like this killer in Pittsburgh are disciples of the radical hate mongers like this Glenn Beck and Limbaugh and Hannity and others. They actually believe, and you can hear them and you can see on some of their sites, they actually believe there's going to be some sort of a house-to-house search someday to take away their guns and they'll be left defenseless. And they actually believe it's okay to have a house full of assault rifles, machine guns, and any other weapons they need to fend off we radical liberals who want to disarm them and throw them into prison. They scare me. They do scare me. And they do represent a group that we will never be able to reason with. With that type of mindset, we will not reason with these people. You get these neo-Nazi groups, these militia groups, these white supremacist groups stuck up in the mountains of Idaho and Montana and God knows where else, certainly not limited to those three wonderful states. But you will not reason with those kinds of people. We have seen many, many, many killings lately. Many. People are armed to the teeth. Assault rifles. This kid that killed the policeman in Pittsburgh, he pretty much ambushed him. He lay in wait for him and told his friend, "You're not taking my guns." Convinced that somebody was going to be over to take his guns. And he lashed out against the police. It was a tragedy. It's a tragedy for the people of Pittsburgh and that area and for the families of those people. We had the killing on Virginia Tech campus last year. Was it last year? Maybe year before. That was a long time ago, it seems already. We had the killing of the 14 people up east here this past week. Statistics have shown, as far as using a gun for defense, that you're more likely to be killed in your home if you have a gun and fight back with the gun than not. That many times people break in to rob, have no intentions of shooting you, but when you pull a gun, they shoot. And the stats are you're more likely to get killed if you shoot back than you are if you had not drawn a weapon on them. So that might be a sad statistic, but it is true. And so I do wonder about the people that are armed to the teeth. We just had a tragedy here in Southwest Florida just a few months ago where a young gentleman, maybe 13, 14 years old, got in the gun cabinet in his father's unlocked gun cabinet and accidentally killed one of his friends. They tried to cover it up, and it turns out that it was an unlocked gun cabinet, and the father put the kid up to saying that there was an intruder came in the house and all that. So many people are careless with weapons. So many kids have a hold of weapons that have no business having a hold of a weapon. We know what the Republicans have done to gun legislation. We know with the power of the National Rifle Association in this country, there is no more powerful group. And so they are stirring this pot of hatred and fear. And there's much of it going around now, as much as I have seen in my adult lifetime. And it does scare me. It bothers me that we are being further separated by other groups in the country because of fear and hate that's being ginned up by the right wing, particularly the right wing radio host. This sudden rise prominence, I guess, of this crazy Glenn Beck has me worried. We've discussed on this program before that there are many, 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 in fact, I believe a high percentage of Americans who are really putty in these people's hands. These people, I mean these right-wing radical radio hosts. And it appears to me that there is a concentrated effort for a call to arms by these people. The white supremacists that we've mentioned, the militia movement, the gun nuts, they're on the march, and it scares me. And this guy in Pittsburgh that we already mentioned, who killed three cops, actually did lay in wait and ambush them. He's a perfect example. Perfect example. We're finding out from his friends now. We're finding out from posts on websites that he made that he had every intention of protecting his rights to keep his guns. And so he took the lives of three people who had no intention of taking his guns because of this lunatic fringe that exists on the right. And the guy up east who killed the 14 people, he'd been out taking target practice. Now it turns out that the police chief up there had seen him out taking target. I mean, this is an epidemic. Beck is obviously insane. If you've seen him, you can see that look in his eye. You've seen that phony performance he put on with the crocodile tears here a week or so ago.
But how I love my country. I'm saying all this because I love my country.
It's as phony as a $3 bill. Anybody with any brains would know that. And yes, we are having crazies like Chuck Norris, and they don't get any crazier than Chuck Norris. Talking about Texas seceding from the Union. Well, fine, go. Wouldn't bother me all that much. I have some friends in Texas, and there are some nice people in Texas, but my oh my. But it does seem like an epidemic, and we have these insanity rants on TV. You've seen Beck's rants on TV. You've heard him on the radio. It's as obvious as can be that the guy isn't dealing with a full deck, and yet he's gathering viewers and listeners by the hundreds of thousands. He's the new star on Fox. Wouldn't you know? It would be on Fox. And it would be different if he were preaching some sort of reasoning. But he's preaching hate, and he's preaching fear. You know the story. You've heard the story. He's claiming the FEMA camps are going to be concentration camps. And now that crazy, lunatic Republican Michelle Bachmann from Minnesota is backing him up and saying the same thing, that she's been to one of these camps. And that's all well and good if a guy like Beck, an entertainer, a guy getting paid to say that, goes crazy. But when we have elected leaders like Michelle Bachmann and this Inhofe from Texas, and I could name several others, from Oklahoma rather, and I could name several others, when they start that sort of speech, it's time to get serious about putting up some real resistance against it. But what are we doing? Are liberals putting up a serious fight against this hate speech? No. Absolutely not. We're sitting by as a group, not all of us, but we're sitting by and we're allowing them to run over us. To run over us in the media. And a lot of people might think, oh, that's not important. Sure, the Democrats own the Congress. They own the White House. But we are being beaten to death on the airwaves of America every single day, 24/7, over and over and over again. These hate mongers are preaching to millions of people a day. They're urging them, they're exhorting them to violence and to treasonous acts in this country. They are openly and blatantly urging them to help make the President of the United States fail in his mission to bring America's prestige back, to bring this country back from the brink of financial disaster. These people have to be countered, and we're doing virtually nothing about it. And it saddens me when I think about the attitude by most liberals concerning growing a viable liberal media. It makes me ill. Here on the Head On Radio Network, we have some highly competent broadcasters. I'll match our group up against anybody, anytime. Mark Levine is as smart as they get. He's well-versed. He's educated about the Beltway, as educated as anybody can be. He's articulate. He's informative. Bob Kincaid is brilliant. His capacity to understand and to explain the issues to the common man in a way they can grasp is just phenomenal. And John, well, who's more of an expert on green issues than John? He's bright. He's well-spoken, he's entertaining, and me, I'm an old yellow dog Democrat who knows his way around the political arena and doesn't mind mixing it up a bit when the radical right goes off the tracks. The Head On Radio Network is staffed with some of the best broadcasters I know. I sincerely mean that. And I think some of you fully realize that. And yet, where are we on the national scale? We are the only liberal radio network. The only liberal radio network. We hammer away day after day, year after year, believing that someone within the community of the powers that be, the ones with the cash, will wake the hell up and support the only true, genuine liberal network in existence today. Did you hear what I said? The only true, genuine liberal network in existence today. Oh, where America started out to be that way, didn't make it. Of course, they tried it with comedians and other ways. And yes, we have Rachel Maddow. I love Rachel because she's the only true liberal on TV today. True, bleeding heart liberal. Rachel is that. Keith, he's good at what he does. But is he a true, avowed, admitted liberal? Was he any kind of that before he found his niche on MSNBC? Not really. But he does a great job at what he does. I like his program. Chris Matthews? Kind of liberal, I guess. But in my opinion, he'd go whichever direction the money leads. He showed his true colors when it was popular to beat up on Bill and Hillary Clinton every day of the week back when the impeachment was going on, so he joined right in. That's not to say I agree with everything Bill and Hillary Clinton stand for, but I saw no need for Matthews to throw garbage at him on every one of his shows, and he did. Still does every time he gets a chance today. And so now, starting last night, we have the Ed Show. I realize that I'll make some people angry. I'll put some people off by saying what I'm going to say right now. But I have to say it. I probably sound like I'm regurgitating sour grapes. I'll sound envious to some of you, jealous to some of you. I don't care. The truth is the truth. and I've got to tell the truth. And everyone who thinks Ed Schultz is the second coming, the guy who's going to carry the banner for left to the left, needs to know this. And I may regret saying all this, but you need to know the truth. That's one thing this program is about, is the truth. And if there's a kernel of truth in something, I'm going to bring it out. I'm going to dig and get the whole truth. And here's a story where I know the whole truth. And when I say I know, I do know. There are four other liberal broadcasters who were there with me when all of this started for Ed Schultz, when all this happened, and they too know exactly what happened to get Ed Schultz where he is today, and how and why he changed his stripes virtually overnight for money. And I don't know if any of the other broadcasters that were there at the meeting have ever talked about it, but I'm going to. And I'll hear about it, I'm sure. But you see, I have the truth on my side. I have the truth on my side. I know the truth, and so does everybody else that was there. I'm going to tell you this because I don't want anybody to be taken in by Schultz and his phony baloney act of being a liberal. Ed Schultz is not a liberal. He isn't now. He never was. That story of his wife, about his wife changing him over, is pure horse crap. If you're a zebra, you don't change your stripes. You're born with those stripes, and you're going to wear them till you die. Such is the case of Ed Schultz, truth be told. Tom Daschle changed him over, and it wasn't because Tom wanted to make a political convert out of Schultz. That wasn't the motive at all. Daschle was in the political fight of his life, and he needed a media figure in that area to back him. And guess who was the only one available? Why, Ed Schultz, of course. Backroom deal? A deal with the devil? When you're a politician like Daschle, you'll do anything for survival, and that's exactly what Daschle did. He turned to a lifelong, dyed-in-the-wool, hardcore conservative for help. And old Big Eddie was eager to help, all right. Daschle was the guy Eddie needed to get his ticket punched. Daschle had contacts, and he was willing to use them to help himself by helping Schultz. And so Big Eddie was introduced to Democratic powers that be in Washington. And Big Eddie attended a meeting along with several other of us. And Big Eddie came out the winner because of Daschle and Daschle's friends with money. There's a whole lot more to the story. And maybe someday I'll tell you the rest of it, but it's not pretty. And I want to reiterate, if you think Ed Schultz is representing liberal views on his radio show and on TV, you are badly mistaken. It's money, and it's nothing but money. But the part of this that really sticks in my craw, as they say, is a lifelong conservative is being listened to and viewed by liberals, some liberals, thinking he represents them. And I'm here to tell you that nothing could be further from the truth. Why am I telling you all of this? Because it makes me ill to think that here we have the Head on Radio Network with highly competent, educated, informed, entertaining radio hosts, true liberals, every one. And where are we? Bob and I have beaten on the doors of possible money rainmakers from the left to no avail. We've been given every excuse in the book. You should hear some of the excuses. Oh, liberal radio isn't all that important. Liberal radio isn't effective. Oh, we can't afford it. We believe liberals don't listen to the radio like conservatives do. Or We want you to broadcast just our message. Whatever issue it is we have, just do our message. And we've heard it all. Believe me, we've heard it all and then some. And so I'm feeling greatly troubled today because of this. It didn't help when I turned on the TV last evening and watched the first 5 minutes of the Ed Show with him telling his audience, I'm representing you. Ed Schultz is representing himself. His history absolutely proves it. Let me read you some Ed Schultz statements, and you maybe have heard these before. When he was doing his show in Fargo, when he was on the right, here's the statement from him, talking about homeless people and cold, being cold and freezing, not having a place to go was the subject. And here's a quote from him. Yeah, it's cold out. But you'd think these people could figure out how to get out of it. How about getting a job? Now, Eddie says, a few years later than that, after he got the job on liberal radio, a lot of these homeless folks are Vietnam veterans. We've turned our back on these people after they gave to the country. What's wrong with this picture? And here's another quote from the guy holding the banner for the left on television right now. Talking about farmers. Because, as you know, people on the right have little use for farm subsidies and all that. And this is a quote from Ed Schultz. The American farmer's hat is bent from being stuck in the mailbox waiting for the government check. But after he got his job on liberal radio, after his transformation, he said, this country can't survive without the American farmer. We aren't just subsidizing the farmer. We're making it possible for every American to purchase food. Tell me that's an honest changeover. And how about his quote on health care? Nothing points out the difference any more than this. Ed Schultz, when he was doing his right-wing show in Fargo, said, why should I have to take care of someone down the street because I'm successful and they have failed? But then he gets a job in syndication and says, the healthcare industry and the lack of coverage for millions of Americans has to be on the table. We need a universal package. It makes me ill. So what do the rest of liberal radio do? What with the rest of liberal radio in crisis? What's the liberal community going to do about it? Some of us are knocking our heads against the wall every day and have been for a long, long time, trying to come up with good programming, trying to bear the expenses of it, and for what? How long will the liberal community basically ignore what has to be done in order to counter the right-wing noise machine? How long? How long is it going to be before the liberal community, and I'm not talking about our small community here at Head On Radio Network, but how long is it going to take for the majority of liberals to realize that we've got a lot of ground to make up in the media? And I wonder, will they ever realize how important it is to have an effective liberal media? I'm beginning to think not. I'm beginning to think not. I am disgusted. I am angry. Accuse me of what you will, my motives for saying this. But to know that someone that is not a liberal, has never been a liberal, was an avowed righty, to know that he's the one carrying the flag now for liberals. Something wrong with that picture, folks. There's something wrong with that picture. We've been played for suckers. Again. And I'm just wondering how long the liberal community can be played for suckers. I, for one, I'm tired of it. It's 3:35 here on the Head On Radio Network on the Guy James Show. You're listening to Guy James Today. That's me. And we're going to take a little break.
Oh.
Lost Eva Cassidy. We lost the great one, that's for certain. What a wonderful, wonderful musician and singer she was. You listen to the Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network. I, of course, am Guy James. I'm looking at the official Guy James Show mascots, Kukla and Sophie. They're looking at me when I said their names. Our Yorkies and people have asked. I posted some pictures on them one time on the chat room, but Kukla is the typical black and tan Yorkie. Keep a puppy cut on him. Don't let that hair grow real long like some Yorkies do. And Sophie's the silverback, or Silky. She's silver and tan and copper, I guess you would say. Beautiful dogs. And here's their... I tell you, some people are really on the ball. Posted those pictures. Where did you have that? Did you have that up that quick? Thank you for that, for posting that on the internet that quick. My God, you guys are right on the ball, really on the ball. We got the best doggone audience you could ever want. You know, we're a family here on the Head On Radio Network. We see and hear a lot from the same folks every day and email back and forth, and seems like we kind of know each other. Some of us have never met. And it's odd to have a relationship where you've never physically, personally met, and yet you feel that you knew, you do know somebody. There's lots of our listeners that I feel I know to the core. And that's a wonderful thing about the Internet. Did you ever think, when you were younger, before the advent of the Internet, you would have such a wonderful, wonderful resource in front of you for information and for communication? Who could have dreamed? Lord, I wouldn't want to be an encyclopedia salesman these days. they can't be selling a lot of them. Remember that when you were young? Encyclopedia salesman? Ah, yes. We've got a call on the line here. Let's see who we have. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show. Hello? Let's see here if we... No reason why we shouldn't have a caller. Hello, are you there? Hello? Well, let's try this one more time. Hello, are you there? Well, I guess not. We'll try again later. Don't know who that is. 866-546-5254 if you'd like to join us on the program. And you can also give us a shot at 304-574-7813, 7814, or 7815. Don't know what happened with that call. Seems to me I got a call last week from that same number and had the same result. I'm not exactly sure what happened there. I do want to get into a couple of things. We look at some of the politicians as being intelligent. Do you have the same feeling? A lot of time you'll see somebody and you think, well, you know, they're on TV all the time. They must be highly intelligent. They're out there. The cameras are flocked around them. They must be highly intelligent. They must know everything. They must be so savvy about what goes on in Washington, D.C. Gosh, I should respect this person's intelligence and knowledge of Washington, D.C. Did you ever feel that way about someone you see in the news? Here, we're going to try this phone call again. Hello, you're on the Guy James Show. Hello, you're on the Guy James Show. Well, here we go again. Hello? Hello, hello, hello. Well, don't know what's wrong with our phone line. Hello, you're on the Guy James Show. Try calling back. We may have figured it out here. So if you're going to call back, I'm fiddling with buttons here. That's why I'm probably sounding perky jerky here. All right. Yeah, call back whoever's calling, and we'll try and get this figured out. Whoever it is. 866-546-5254 once again. I hate to start in on something if I know the phone's going to ring. I'm one of those people that once I get started with my train of thought, I don't want to stop. Times are tough right now. How tough are they for you? I ran across a list of things that is difficult for people. It said the CEOs are now playing miniature golf. Saying people who have nothing to do with the Obama administration aren't paying their taxes. Hot Wheels and Matchbox stocks are trading higher than GM. PETA serves chicken wings at their meetings, saying that times are so tough. McDonald's is selling the quarter ouncer. People in Beverly Hills fired their nannies and learned their children's name. Now, that's pretty extreme. And a truckload of Americans got caught sneaking into Mexico. Times are so tough. And Dick Cheney took his stockbroker hunting. I wouldn't want to be Dickie's stockbroker right now. Times are so tough in America that people in Africa are donating money to Americans. And mothers in Ethiopia are telling their kids, finish your plate. Do you know how many kids are starving in the USA? And things are so tough, Motel 6 won't leave the lights on. And here's the clincher, I think. Things are so tough economically right now that the mafia is laying off judges. Wah, wah, wah. I was talking a minute ago about how a lot of times we see people on the internet, we see people on TV, and we think, gosh, they must be highly intelligent because they're on TV. Well, it ain't necessarily so, and if they're an elected leader, doesn't necessarily mean they're highly intelligent either. Think Michelle Bachmann. Inhofe from Oklahoma. You may wonder why I pick on Inhofe from Oklahoma, but he is the dumbest SOB that's ever been in Congress. I don't know. I mean, I only know back through my lifetime since I've been old enough to keep track of this, but man, oh man, is that guy stupid. I mean, not just ignorant, he's stupid. And it fascinates me that people would continue to elect him. It really does. I'm shocked by things like it. But anyway, the reason I started this whole thing before I sidetracked myself, Newt Gingrich is seen as kind of like the leader of the Republican Party right now, right after Rush. I guess Gingrich is second in command. And here's some quotes from the past. If you think Newt Gingrich is the end-all, be-all, and so highly intelligent, here's some quotes from Newt Gingrich that shows me that he's not exactly what he's cracked up to be. He said, "We must expect the Soviet system to survive for a very long time. There will be Soviet labor camps and Soviet torture chambers well into our grandchildren's lives." That's an example of Newt's grasp of the future. Newt said once again here, here's a quote from Newt Gingrich, "Kill jobs and lead to a recession. Force people off of work and onto unemployment and will actually increase the deficit." That was Gingrich waxing prophetic regarding Clinton's 1993 budget bill. How much more wrong could you be than that right there? And he says, "In Washington, D.C., 800 babies are left in dumpsters a year." That's Newt Gingrich with a big lie. It was not 800, it was 4. But considering his views on abortion and welfare, he just might help that lie come true. Gingrich said that most people don't realize it's illegal to pray in school. Most people somehow think that's not true. Newt Gingrich with another flat-out lie. Praying is allowed in public schools as long as it's not led by government employees or so loud as to disrupt the education of others. Once again showing that Newt Gingrich is not the brainy guy a lot of people think he is. And Newt Gingrich is a guy who comes up with a lot of questions, a lot of criticism of every Democratic president. Newt just makes it seem like he knows it all and nobody else knows anything. But do you ever hear Newt Gingrich come up with the answers to anything? Oh, no. He's great at criticizing. He's great at putting other people down. But he never has the answers. That's not the way he operates. And he also said the problem isn't too little money in political campaigns, but not enough. I have several pages of quotes about Newt Gingrich, and they're funny. About Kitty Dukakis. Remember when he insulted Kitty Dukakis? Said she's nuts. She's a drug addict. He called the Speaker of the House, Tip O'Neill, a thug. So I guess Newt isn't always as bright as people give him credit for. I certainly never thought he was. A lot of people say, oh, he's such a cerebral guy. I have never believed that about Newt Gingrich. Never. Listen to the Guy James Show here on the Hit On Radio Network. We're coming up on news in just a couple of minutes or two. Would love to have you join us after the program. I think we have our phone problem worked out. We shall see. Pretty sure we do. And if you'd like to call us after the top of the hour, why, we'd appreciate it very, very much. It's good to be back with you. We have a lot to talk about now and in the upcoming shows. We've got some great guests lined up for you. I didn't really book any guests this week. Things are kind of quiet in Washington this week, and I didn't have anybody on, but we will very, very soon. We've got a lot of things coming up. We've got the Campaign for America's Future coming up in June 1st. We're going to be attending that this year and doing our program from there. So we're looking forward to that, and we've got some other trips planned as well to be doing remote, so we always have that to look forward to. I enjoy going out on the road and doing the shows. They're a technical nightmare sometimes, but it's a chance to meet with other liberal broadcasters and get their opinions on where we are in liberal radio. And some of the leaders of there are people in Congress who believe in liberal radio. Debbie Savinoff is one, for example. She from Michigan, senator from Michigan. She believes in liberal radio very, very much. She's worked hard for it. Trying to think who else. Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders is another one that has cooperated with people to get more liberals on the air and keep them on the air and get them funded in some way possible. He's done a little bit of that as well. I'm trying to think who else. Now, Carl Levin has been helpful as well in some ways. But I can't think of a whole lot of them that actually have been. I really cannot. We're going to head on out to the news right now. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. We'll send you out with this, and we'll be back.
Listening to WIN, the Workers Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell. Members of the Communication Workers of America continue to work despite lack of new contract agreements with AT&T. Doug Cunningham has the report.
As the contract for roughly 100,000 CWA workers at AT&T expired, the union workers stayed on the job, but that could change to a strike at any minute. CWA says it's ready to bargain and resolve remaining issues to reach an agreement. But the union is expressing frustration at what it says is AT&T's slow pace of negotiations. CWA says there's been little progress on health care issues, retirement security, or employment security. AT&T remains very profitable, even in this economy. It reported $12.9 billion in profit last year. CWA members at AT&T have overwhelmingly authorized a strike if necessary. The contract has not been extended, but the wages and benefits do remain the same for now as the workers stay on the job. The union says it's hard to understand why AT&T is demanding that workers pay more health care costs, given the company's high profitability. So far, CWA says AT&T has shown little willingness to move forward and settle the outstanding contract issues.
It isn't all bad news in the world of job creation. The Pentagon is hoping to bring on board 13,000 more workers between now and 2010, and an additional 30,000 workers by the year 2014. This goal would be achieved under the budget of Secretary of Defense Robert Gates, who is proposing rolling back the Defense Department's dependency on contract labor and instead creating sustainable long-term positions. Meanwhile, Sallie Mae announced plans on Monday to create 2,000 jobs over the next 18 months in the United States. The student lender will be moving those jobs from overseas into the U.S. and the jobs will be brought back stateside by October 2010. 600 are planned for eastern Pennsylvania. Most of the positions are for the company's call centers. Workers in Hamilton, Ontario, have walked off the job at a national steel car assembly plant. 600 workers are on strike after the company's final contract offer was refused. The workers are represented by the United Steelworkers, and they are refusing to accept the company's position that they should waive seniority rights and take a pay cut of nearly 25% per hour. Life at the plant has been touch and go, even before the workers walked off the job. Since 2006, the plant has let go of more than 1,700 workers, and the current staff of 660 only work 4 days of the week. National Steel Car is currently in the process of building a $350 million factory in Alabama, and workers are worried the company will transfer the remaining jobs out of Canada.
Workers Independent News puts workers and their unions on the national radio news airwaves every day. To help keep labor's voice on the air, go to laborradio.org.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Guy James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life! Life you give me is my creation! Life!
So this was fun.
You're gonna like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Begin countdown. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show. James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Guy James Show. Good to have all of you along with us this afternoon. Getting close to tax time. Have you got your taxes done? Have you paid those old taxes? Maybe you get some back this year. Who knows if you're lucky. Maybe you get some back. We talked in the first hour today about liberal radio and the state of it right now. And as you all know, we're pretty much on life support as a whole on with liberal radio across the country. But little there is of it, this being the only liberal radio network of true liberals. And we do wonder what's wrong with the liberal community not supporting liberal radio the way it needs to be. Makes me wonder. I know times are tough and all that, and I'm not having a fundraiser here. I'm just talking about the condition of liberal radio, why it doesn't go anywhere. I posted something on one of our liberal websites here a week ago, about what do you think about liberal radio, and I was a bit shocked about some of the answers I got. I got quite a few people answering that they didn't give a damn about liberal radio, and that's just how they felt about it, so I don't know. All right, let's see if we can answer the phone this time. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show. Hello? Hello, you're on the Guy James Show. Hello? Hello, you're on the Guy James Show. Maybe we're having troubles with this phone thing. I know somebody's there.
Hello?
Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hello.
In the background.
Hello, Guy.
Yes.
Hello, Guy.
Yes, hello.
Hello. Nope. Can't get through. I can't hear anything, Guy.
Well.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I do.
Hello. Hello. Hello.
Well, I guess that's not going anywhere. Al, I'm getting nothing but a bunch of...
Can you hear me? Can you hear me now? I can't hear you at all.
Okay. I'm sorry. We've got technical problems with our new phone system, and I don't know what to do about it today. Frankly, I just don't know. I've done everything I know how to do, and great having a talk show with no phone, huh? Well, it's not like we haven't tried. We've worked hard on trying to get this phone system to work, and I honestly don't know what the answer is. We'll see. I can call out, but evidently nobody can call in. Had it set so it worked fine, haven't changed one single thing, and now it doesn't work again, so I don't know. We'll see what we can do about it. I want to talk a little bit today about the Obamas. I haven't spoken a lot about the Obamas in a while, and so let me start this little editorial of mine by saying that I'm a bit disappointed with the Obama administration so far. Just a bit. I mean, he has far too many people in his administration that I think are part of the problem, not the solution. And I'm talking about people like Tim Geithner. You may disagree with me on that. And yet, I have reservations about having Wall Street people. I don't know who else you have in Geithner's job at Wall Street people, but it just seems to me like you're getting the fox to watch the chickens, and that bothers me. And Summers, too. All this came out over the weekend about the millions and millions of dollars Summers made for doing virtually nothing on Wall Street. That kind of bothers me. And so that's part of the Obama administration that I do have a problem with. But I do want to mention that I have complete confidence in the man's intelligence. I believe he will eventually realize he's got people in his administration that aren't doing him any good, and he probably already does know it. And we're only less than 3 months into his first term, and I'm still more than willing to give the guy the benefit of the doubt, and there's no reason to panic over it yet. There really isn't any reason to panic yet. I see none at all. And having gotten that little bit of venting out of the way, it has to be acknowledged that the performance of the president and the first lady during the European G20 summit has been nothing short of incredible. How nice to have Europeans see good American leadership once again, and how nice to have Europeans see people represent us with style and grace and intelligence. It's something they're not used to lately. And you know, forgive the cliche, but I believe that Barack and Michelle took Europe by storm, and was the kind of shot in the arm publicity that comes along so very rarely and has been so rare for us for a long, long time now. It's the type of publicity that this country was desperate for. And after 8 years of the my way or the highway half-witted cowboy diplomacy, I guess you'd call it, of George W. Bush and the extremist assholes he surrounded himself with, the contrast between the two administrations are really impossible to ignore. The comparisons are literally screaming to be made here, and as a public service, allow me to make them. I'll never forget the first time I ever laid eyes on Junior George W. Bush. It was in the spring of 1988 during his daddy's South Carolina primary campaign, and he was being interviewed on NBC News, and I can remember my response like it was yesterday. I sat and watched him, and I said, man, that dog is dumber than dog crap, that guy is. And if you had told me right then and there that in 13 years that inarticulate gutter snipe, I guess would be no other way to put it, would be sitting in the Oval Office, I probably would have smiled and patted you on the hand and replied, could I have a little toke of what you're smoking? I mean, please give me some of what you're smoking. If you would have, you know, it was impossible to believe that Junior Bush could attain that office. It was impossible to me. And when he announced his candidacy in the fall of, 99, I remember saying to somebody, wouldn't it be great if the Republicans nominated this moron? This guy was so obviously stupid that to me he didn't stand a chance on election day. I couldn't fathom that the American people would be dumb enough to put a guy like that in office. And when he finally did get the nomination at the Republican convention in that summer of, 2000, I thought the Democrats really hit the jackpot. I did. I talked about Newt Gingrich not being able to predict things properly. Well, I was off the mark on this one by a long way. Al Gore against Bush? Come on, give me a break. I thought it was going to be like shooting fish in a barrel. I thought. I never dreamed that the American people would be foolish enough to send this moron to the White House. It ain't going to happen. No way, no how. And I stand corrected. I was completely wrong. I don't know how I could have been so wrong. But back to comparing Barack Obama to George W. Bush, it's about as unfair as comparing the acting abilities of, say, Laurence Olivier to Larry the Cable Guy. It's unfair to do that, but really it's unresistible. But what I'm getting at is that last week, for the first time since I was in the first grade, see, we didn't have kindergarten when I started school, a chief executive we could really be proud of stood on the world stage, and he transformed the badly tarnished image of this country. And I don't think since 1941, when President Roosevelt took up arms against Adolf Hitler, have American-European relations been given a bigger shot of adrenaline. And it was a wonderful thing to behold. A wonderful thing to behold. And yes, I remember Bill Clinton represented his country well and with great skill and good diplomacy, but facing some uncomfortable facts here, it was kind of hard to be bursting at the seams with pride over Bill Clinton at times. The man was seriously flawed. And not since Jack and Jackie Kennedy have the people of Europe taken to an American first family, taken them to heart as much as they have this one. And don't kid yourself, those of you on the right that talk about St. Ronnie Reagan, they couldn't stand the Reagans. They looked at Ronald Reagan as absolutely stupid, the Europeans did. And they respected, they even liked Bill and Hillary, and there's no question about it, but they're just wild about Barack and Michelle Obama. And it kind of reminded me of the Beatles' 1964 invasion of America, kind of in reverse. And we've got to be honest with ourselves. The rest of the world has become somewhat bewildered in the last 40 years at the quality of our leaders. They've looked at us and gone, what the hell? And it left me wondering how Europe would have reacted if we'd have sent an old reactionary like John McCain to the White House last November. And it makes me wonder, are you able to contemplate the utter horror the rest of the planet would have felt had the American electorate put a white trash diva like Sarah Palin, a 72-year-old heartbeat away from the presidency? I really seriously doubt that the American prestige would have ever been able to recover from something like that. The blow would have been fatal. So the election of President Obama has sent a signal that we are open to change here in this country, that maybe we do have some brains here in this country. We may have to be dragged into that change, kicking and streaming, but we're open to it nonetheless. And the last 8 years have proven, one would hope forever, have proven the utter bankruptcy of the GOP's philosophy of governance. If America ever chooses to go down that road again, we'll deserve everything that happens to us. And each time in our past, this plutocracy, in other words, the loony right wing, every time they're able to seize control of all three branches of our government, they ruined this country economically. All three times. Have the American people finally learned the lesson that they should have learned, what was it, about a century and a half ago during the Grant administration? Judging by the history of our public, probably not. We shall see. After 8 years of the Bush's Death Valley, which is what I call it, Obama is the proverbial mountaintop. And just knowing that there's a guy in charge who can put a couple of coherent sentences together without the aid of a team of speechwriters and a state-of-the-art teleprompter is something we used to take for granted in this country. Now it seems like a luxury. And it's true, as I started out here, Team Obama is far from perfect and is in need of a bit of overhaul in some of the things they're doing. But when you compare it to the nightmare years of 2001 to 2009, the differences are absolutely striking. And I might add, they're refreshing. And it's almost like comparing Bobo the simple-minded to Albert Einstein or, I don't know, Charles Manson to Mother Teresa or George Washington to George Bush. But I don't know about you, but I've been sleeping a lot sounder since January of 2009, since I came home from the inaugural. I think the country's in better hands. I don't expect Barack Obama to be perfect. Nobody is. I don't expect to agree with everything he does. He'll make mistakes. He'll have triumphs. And there may even be some tragedies. But I believe that the American public right now is a whole hell of a lot more comfortable about our government than they have been for a long, long time, at least 8 years. Oh, yes, there are those out there that are making a lot of noise. There are those on the right-wing hate mongers, the right-wing noise machine, the people in Congress, the Mitch McConnells and the Boners and people like that. They're going to scream and holler and make all the noise they can. But the government is in good hands. If I were going to trust it to anybody to fix what's wrong, I would pick the people that are there now. I have not changed my mind on that. They've made some mistakes. They'll continue to make some mistakes. But I think they're getting a handle on it. I truly do. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back.
Just can't buy one vote.
Oh, yeah, Roy. Nobody like Roy. I love Roy Orbison. Man, oh, man. Roy, one of my favorite all time. Little weird was Roy. I don't know if anybody ever looked weirder than Roy, but man, could he sing. Set of pipes on him that like nobody I think I've ever heard. Started out kind of like a country musician and did crossover and... Oh, man, I think that his song, Crying, is one of my favorite of all time. And when he did the duet with, what's the gal's name from Canada? Can't recall her name right now, but wow. First of all, an honor for her to be invited to do a duet with his signature song, and then it was a killer song. Love music. Love many different genres of music. I'm not into rap. I'm not into jazz, really. Love classical probably more than any. I am a student of the classics, and I enjoy classical music a great deal. Not a hard rock and roller, but I like the beautiful ballads. Like this Katie Lang, thank you, Hilo. I knew she'd come up with that, sang the duet with Roy Orbison. This is like when I look at Elvis Presley's music. I love all of his ballads. Love them. Just love all of his ballads. And the same way with the Beatles, Yesterday and their beautiful ballads that they did. The rock and roll tunes, not so much. That's just me, I guess. 866-546-5254 if you want to try this phone thing again. We rebooted the whole thing and are willing to give it another shot if somebody wants to. wants to give it a try. Other than that, I may... I don't know what I'll do this evening after the show's over. Try and figure out what the heck, what have I done. Did you ever get frustrated like that with things on the Internet? They work. Everything works fine. And I know you've done this with your computer. Everything works fine. You log off, go away for a day or so, and come back, and it doesn't work right. Something happened while you were gone, and you didn't touch it. You ever have that happen to you? Happened to me more than once. I think some of these days I'll have to figure out what actually makes the Internet work. I know how to work it. I'm one of those people who can push all the buttons and everything, but don't have a complete grasp of the magic that is the Internet. That's for certain. Here we have a call. We'll try this again. Hello, you're on the Guy James Show. Well, we got the same old result. I can hear you, but you can't hear me. Is that the way it is? Yes, it is.
Hello.
I'm going to try this again. Can you hear me on the
line?
No.
In the landline.
Nope, it's not working again.
Yeah, Straight landline. Hello. Hello, Guy.
I hear.
Hello.
I hear you talking just fine.
Hello. Hello. Hello.
Yeah, well.
Using a straight wire landline, no.
Yeah, I can hear the caller just fine, but the caller cannot hear me at all.
I'll have to try again. Thank you, guys.
I don't know what it is.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
That's disturbing. That is disturbing. Thanks for trying. That was Gunny calling. I know it was. I recognize his voice. And he seemed frustrated that I could hear him just perfect. But he could not hear me. And that's the same problem I had when I first installed this new phone. So I don't know. Don't know what happened there. I really don't. I'll take a break and see if I can figure it out.
Grab him from behind. Oh, baby, you're such a pretty thing. I can't wait
didn't have so much trouble last night, but I've certainly had my share today. thanks for joining in here on the Guy James Show. 866-546-5254 on the Guy James Show today here on the Head On Radio Network. Had about every kind of technical problem a person can have in here in the studio today. Must have had a gremlin get loose in here. Anyway, here we are with the Guy James Show and the Head On Radio Network, and glad to have all of you along with us this afternoon. Apologize for the technical problems. We'll get them ironed out sooner or later. I was interested to see, once again, that the right-wing media machine, and you have to include Joe Scarborough on that just because he's on in the morning now, just because he's on MSNBC, him and Mika, and I sometimes wonder about her. But this morning, from Think Progress, this morning, Joe Scarborough went on a rant about President Obama's economic plans. Even though he's got the approval of the American public on this, Obama does. His latest talking point that Obama, quote, has never received a paycheck in his entire life. That's the story from Joe Scarborough. And let's quote Joe Scarborough. He said, think about this. We have a president who has never received a paycheck. This guy, think about it. He's running Detroit. He's running Wall Street. He's going to run other sectors of our economy. He's never received a check from a profit-making business in his entire life. Not one check. Think about the radicalism of that. This one troubled Joe. It isn't true. And Think Progress went on to say, in fact, much like Scarborough himself, Obama has spent most of his career in legal and political work. Still, a significant portion of Obama's career was indeed in the private sector, where he earned many paychecks. He worked for the Business International Corporation in 1984. Obama wrote for the Publisher's Weekly Newsletter. Made money doing it. Sidney Austin. Obama was a summer associate at the private law firm in 1989, where he was supervised by his future wife, Michelle. Presumably, he was paid for that. Hopkins and Sutter. Obama was a summer associate for the Chicago law firm in 1990. Davis, Minor, Barnhill, and Gillard. Obama was hired by the private law firm in 1993, working on voter rights and civil rights, but also real estate transactions and incorporation. Obama had all this private sector experience before earning millions, writing two best-selling books, books that were published by a for-profit private sector publishing company that paid him royalties directly related to his product's performance. The larger point, of course, according to Think Progress, is that the question of private sector experience is irrelevant when it comes to judging public servants. Indeed, Americans continue to reap the disasters sown by an oil man who owned a Major League Baseball franchise and boasted a Harvard MBA. Well, I heartily agree with that assessment. But here you go. Here's a guy on national TV, Joe Scarborough, telling a fat-ass lie about the president. And who's there who's there to argue with him? Virtually nobody. Do you suppose on the same network tonight, do you suppose Keith will say anything against Joe Scarborough? Do you suppose tonight that Ed, the friend of unions and farmers and you and I and hardworking middle-class people everywhere, Ed, do you suppose he'll say anything against Joe Scarborough tonight? I'd be surprised if any of them do on the same network. So here's a guy that gets on TV, tells a big fat lie, and probably nobody, is going to refute it at all. And so people walk away thinking, there's people talking at water fountains around the country today. Did you know that Obama's never received a paycheck? Do you know he's been a weasel leech his entire life, never got a paycheck, just always in the public sector, never ever made any money out on his own. That's the story. And that's why I've mentioned that liberal radio is so damned important. They go on and on and on. They tell the big lie. They know they can tell the big lie. And they know there's damn little anybody on the left's going to do about it. They know that they've got the huge megaphone. They know that they've got the speaker system in the stadium, and all the left has got is the little megaphones down on the sideline. That's the comparison. And yet people on the left don't take it seriously. To my dying day, I will never understand why that is. I do not know. So I'm told that Ed covered the Scarborough BS today on the first hour of his radio show. Well, we'll see if he says it on TV tonight. That'll be interesting. On the same network. Should be interesting. 866-546-5254 if you care to try this phone one more time. I'm thinking about calling it myself and see if it goes through. Let me try something here. Yeah, let me try something. I'm calling myself and seeing if this thing works. Nothing like live radio, huh? And dial. Calling my cell phone. Now I guess,
that's not going to work either.
Let's give it a second
here and see.
Well, I guess that's not going to work either. All right. Well, so much for that. We give up. I'm going to take another break here. I apologize for that. We'll be back in a minute or two.
Image of you going around in my head.
you came out on top.
Congratulations.
You never did know when to stop.
Congratulations.
wonder what tomorrow will bring. Maybe a damn okay.
Well, it's all right, even if the sea are wrong. Well, it's all right, sometimes you gotta be strong. Well, it's all right, as long as you got somewhere to lay. Well, it's all right, every day is Christmas Day.
Maybe somewhere down the road away, somewhere down the road when somebody plays purple haze.
Well, it's all right, even when push comes to shove. Well, it's all right, if you got someone to love. Well, it's all right, everything will work out fine. Well, it's all right, we're going to the end of the line.
Ashamed of the car I drive. I'm just glad to be here, happy to feel that. And it don't matter if you're by my side.
Everybody loves.